Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, January 2nd, 2023. We are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52, the fourth paragraph beginning with The Wright Brothers, and reading through The Wrights Would Never Fly on the next page. Today's readers are Ginger C. and the 12 Steps, Kelly K., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Penny E. in the text, and we are going to have Susan S.H. read page 164, A Vision for You. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour moderator is Maria F. The share ID for Sunday, January 1st, 2023 is 19,807. Away preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Ginger C. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Ginger. I'll now ask Penny E. to read the 12 traditions. Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly K. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Kelly K., compulsive overeater. Reading the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52, the fourth paragraph, beginning with the Wright brothers and reading through The Wrights Would Never Fly on the next page. I will now ask Penny E. to begin reading.
Well, thank you so much. This is Penny E. from South Jersey. Very grateful to be here, recovered. The Wright brothers almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. When others showed us that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. Well, thank you again. Penny E. from South Jersey, very grateful to be here on this second day of January. Welcome, everybody. Good morning and Happy New Year. I feel blessed to be like the first person to be the reader in this first year. I'm grateful. I have always had an open mind. It was a gift, always an open mind. Before the disease took over my mind and my body, I always had a relationship with God. You know, religiously, maybe once or twice a year. I remember my nephew was going for eye surgery when he was an infant. I got on my knees and I prayed to God. My parents would fly in an airplane and I would get on my knees and pray to God for safe travel. But I never in the world would think that God would be able to help me with my food problem. Never thought that. But it says here, the mainspring of their accomplishment, they believed, they had to believe that they could fly. That was the mainspring. They could do it. It was the driving force. And I believed you guys. It was my driving force. I believed I could have what you guys had. Why wouldn't it work for me? I'm a people pleaser. I'm good at following directions. People were talking my language. They understood my relationship with food. They were talking how they used to, you know, eat until the boxes were empty and the bags were empty and they were so sick they had to lean over the counter. And they were so fat that they had to go to special stores to get clothing. I mean, they understood me. They understood my relationship with food, and yet they said they were free. They were free. They were neutral to food. I wanted it. I wanted it. Tell me what to do. I had an open mind. I believed I could recover, and I think that was the main spring of my recovery. As long as I did what you guys told me to do, and in fact, I did it, and in fact, it has worked through the grace of God. I'm 34 years. We are 34 years in recovery. 34 years. I mean, one day is a miracle. And I don't say that about me. It's about you and Bill and Bob.
Oh, Penny, so sorry. We just lost you. you could hit star one to unmute your phone, Penny.
I was still here. I was just talking. Okay, I'm here. I'm still here. Thank you. Sorry about that. And for the newcomers, it's possible. It's possible. Maintaining a 110-pound weight loss. But more than that, a relationship with God, which serves me every single day. My desire to please God is the single most important thing in my life without exception. I strive to live the principles of this program every day. Life is a blessing. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. If you're new, keep coming back. Please keep coming back. Love you all. God bless.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Penny. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Please give me your first name only and the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Chris
Charles
J.
H.
Linda D.
Larry
okay,
A.
Okay, hold on just a second. I've got Charles H. and Linda D. and the rest was just a bit of a knot for me. So
Janet B.
Janet
Christina
B.
J. Christina J.
J.
Larry K.
Peggy
H.
Larry. Sorry, who was that?
Peggy H.
Peggy H.
Ginger C.
We got you, Ginger. Okay. All right, that's a good place to stop. Here's who I have right now, and if I missed you, so sorry. We will get you in the next round. So I've got Charles H., Linda D., Janet B., Christina J., Larry K., Peggy H., and Ginger C. All right, Charles H., you're up next, followed by Linda D. Just a reminder to include your state when you introduce
yourself.
Good morning. Hey, Charles.
Good morning, Rick. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. And, yeah, man, this idea of just flying is just, you know, the earmarks of the set-aside prayer and letting go of preconceived notions. Yes, people are going to, you know, jack, new year, new me. I ain't with all that. A spiritual teacher of mine said, just tighten up your program. Just tighten it up. All this new year, new me, you know, 2023, this is the new me. It's all nonsense. Because we all know by Valentine's Day, they're going to be out and running and doing what they do. This is a one day at a time, you know, process. And whatever people do, that's their business. If you want your three minutes of fame, you're going to get gonged after 3 minutes and 10 seconds. Nobody's going to remember. This is a daily reprieve. You know, just get right with your higher power. You know, get right. And you know how I fly? By letting go of preconceived notions and letting go of what you're doing and what you're thinking of me and all that stuff and building my relationship with a higher power. Yes, we're going to have a great convention next week, but I'm not advertising it because there's a lot of people that's not fortunate enough. There's some people on this line that paid for me to go to my first convention, and I love to pay that thing forward. It's going to be a great festivity. It's a great shot in the arm for your program. But, you know, today is a great shot in your program. Just setting aside what you think, you know, preconceived notions, which is prejudice. And it's one of the eight words in We Agnostics that is an impediment to my relationship to God. Now, you know, you got people on here worshiping all types of things, meetings, other people. We are all in the same arena one day at a time. I've never been to January 2nd, 2023. So as that pertains to me, I'm a newcomer to this world, and I'm so grateful to be in the midst of greatness. And with that, I pass.
Thanks for that, Charles. Linda D., you're up next, followed by Janet. Go ahead, Linda.
Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. It's Linda D. from Connecticut. What's new about the new year? I'd better be new today. How would I do that? I have to go to my source. And I can't do this without you. You're wonderful. Each and every person contributes to my life without even knowing it sometimes. I can't do it without you, but you're not the reason I'm here. The reason I'm here is that God gave me life. I was given the gift of life today. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to fear my way through it? That's what I always did. That's what my will got me, because I didn't know what the hell was going on. I thought I did. I knew a lot of stuff that other people knew, but it never worked because I'm self-destructive, and I'm unlearning being self-destructive, and I'm learning how to switch from a fear perspective to a love perspective. And in order to come from a place of love, I have to have a very, very close relationship with God. That is what is dazzling. It is also very hard work to put down my arrogance that I think I know what's going on. And sometimes I do, and lots of times I don't, and I don't see the bigger picture. And sometimes it's painful, very painful, to face some of the things we face in life. And I don't have to eat. I don't have to hurt myself. I mean, I have to eat, but I don't have to hurt myself with food, and neither do you. Nobody does, but it's hard work. And it means I have to pay attention every second. Every second. Now, I'm human, so I screw up, but every second, pay attention to that inner truth that's telling me, no, don't do that. And yesterday, a speaker talked about doing the right thing, doing the next right thing. If you want different, do different. And I could hear God practically screaming as a thought, you got to stop working like a dog. You're going to drop dead again. How stupid. I had to hear another person, but that's the way it works. Another person's opinion, so I could see what was obvious. You are working too hard. Cool it. So with that, I pass. What's better than God? Nothing. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Linda. All right, Janet, you're up next, followed by Christina J. Go ahead, Janet.
Good morning. This is Janet B. in New Jersey, recovered from compulsive eating. Well, this is kind of a weird sentence, right? For the Wright brothers, the mainspring of their accomplishment was their faith. I would have thought it would be their, like, aerodynamic abilities or their knowledge of calculus or something. But they say here, without their faith, nothing could have happened. And I say, why? Like, what does that even mean? And I think it goes something like this. Like, in the physical world, the currency to get something is money, right? If I want a bag of groceries, I hand the clerk a $20 bill and I get a bag of groceries. But I can't hand God a 20 and say, okay, now come and help me. The currency in the spiritual world is faith. And that means I have to trust, right? That's what our second step is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, that God could restore us to sanity. I have to believe that. Otherwise, it's not going to work, because I'm going to be saying, dear God, please help me. But in my heart, my real prayer is, dear God, please help me, but I don't believe you will. So what do I do if I don't believe? And I can only tell you what I did. I always believed in God, but I was a practical atheist because I believed in God, but it didn't impact how I lived one single bit. But one night, I'd been shoving bagel chips down my throat behind a locked bathroom door before a meeting. I went to a meeting and I took a sponsor who I knew had been through these steps and who I knew would let me get away with nothing. And then I went out in the parking lot after that meeting and I said a prayer. And I said, God, I've always had fixed ideas of what you were like and how to worship you. I'm willing to admit I'm all wrong and to start over and let you show me what you're like and how to worship you. And then I made a decision that I was going to be rigorously honest and that I was going to do whatever it took in order to recover. So basically, without even knowing it, I really did my second step and my third step that night in the parking lot. And that was the night that the hand of God reached into my soul and yanked out the obsession. Because faith is the currency in the spiritual world. Once I say to God, I believe you can help me and I'm willing to do whatever it takes, it's like it unties God's hand And he says to his team of angels, okay, let's get to work and do a renovation job on her soul. And when our souls are rewired by God, the obsession can't even live there. And that's all I got. With that, I pass. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you, Janet. Christina J., you're up next, followed by Larry K. Go ahead, Christina.
Morning, everyone. Christina J. in the state of North Carolina this morning. So grateful to be starting out this year on vision with my fellows. When I was first in, when I first went around going to OA meetings, I just wanted to figure out, you know, how to put this food down, how to not eat this shit, how to eat in moderation. How, something was wrong with my brain chemistry. You know, I chased that for years, and I believed in God. And just nothing ever worked. It was a misery ride, misery, trying this, trying that, trying the other thing. And like the Wright brothers, I always had this belief I was going to have success. Something in me was going to finally get this. I was going to finally get this and be able to control it and make this happen. When it came into vision in 2015, I heard the word recovery and I thought, I have found the pot of gold. There's recovery here. This is going to happen for me. And I started the journey. What I didn't know was that what someone mentioned just a minute ago or so, faith. I didn't realize that I had to connect the dots between putting down the food and the faith that God could help me. I realized during my last relapse, I saw myself praying to God for help because I had the cravings. I was going to go to the store. I was going to get crap. And then going to the store and getting crap. I didn't give God a goddamn chance. That hurts my heart to know that I didn't give the power of the universe, this thing that I believe in, that I have a fantastic belief in all these beautiful things that this creator made that I can't even fathom with my little pea brain down here on earth, could help me. I didn't give him a chance. I didn't make a call. I've walked away from donuts and made a call. I've had a step one experiential moment. But between then and now, unless I'm doing 10 steps, unless I'm in the work, unless I'm helping others, you know, unless I'm not crossing all the dots and, you know, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, just doing the work. It becomes part of my life every day to be of service to others. And in that, it keeps me clean. I know this is possible for every one of us. But there comes a time, you know, see, vision taught me, studying this big book taught me that this is a spiritual journey, that I cannot live life in sobriety. It's too effing uncomfortable. It's effing uncomfortable to live in my head, in my past, in what I'm aiming for in the future. Those are all uncomfortable places. Today is the day that I must live in. Today is the day I must have faith that God is going to have me recoil from those thoughts.
Good reminder.
Those thoughts as from a hot flame. God, take these thoughts. This is a program of awareness of this crazy brain. So anyway, thank you all. I love you, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina. Larry K., you're up next, followed by Peggy H. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Got a little bug this morning, so hopefully you can hear me okay. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. So, you know, the paragraph, what sticks with me is the paragraph talks about childish faith, and it says that this was kind of the mainspring, that without that, nothing could have happened. And so I'm thinking about faith this morning, and it, you know, faith is an expression of hope for something better. It's more than a wish. It's closer to a belief, but not quite a belief for me, because a belief is rooted in the mind. And for me, faith is based in the heart. So we act, we take action, we act in faith when there's no guarantee, there's no certainty that you are going to come into alignment with the higher power and this obsession will be lifted. There's no guarantee of that, right? There's no certainty. So we act. No one knows what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of faith. Because when I think of an infant, talk about the childish faith, you know, we don't know what type of life our children are going to have, and yet people continue to have children. Not someone old like me, but there's some younger people on the line, they continue to have children. Nobody can know how the life with a partner is going to turn out, yet we continue to have faith that our relationships may indeed last a lifetime. That's faith. Faith speaks the language of the heart for me. It's an expression of hope. It goes beyond the conscious mind. And, you know, without faith, you know, what do I have? I have to place my faith in this higher power through these actions that I'll take. There was a parable I heard. I was thinking about it. Maybe you've heard a similar one. There was this traveler that came across this old woman, and she was stooped over what were like these thin sticks. And he asked the woman, you know, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm planting orange trees. And, you know, the traveler thought, what a waste of time. And he said, why do you bother with that? You're an old woman. These saplings, they're going to take years before they'll be old enough to bear fruit. You're going to be long gone by then. And the woman looks up at him humbly, and she says, well, that's true enough. But I don't plant these trees for myself, but I plant them for those who will come after me, just as other people planted these trees that bear the fruit that I eat from today. And that's what this program of action is for me today. You know, I plant those seeds. I don't know what the outcome. I don't know if I have any effect on anybody. Not about popularity or anything. But you know what? It when I do that, it's for the future. God allows us to be of service to other people in a way. And we plant those little saplings. And we may never know. You may never know how you touched my heart. You may never know how you impacted me, but you have. You have. That's why I do this today. Thanks, Rick. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. All right, Peggy H., you're up next, followed by Ginger C. Go ahead, Peggy.
Thank you. Hi, Peggy H. From Arizona. Thank you all for your service today and showing up and bringing the meeting. The word that struck me today is insisted. That implies that I have some very fixed beliefs lodged deep. And, you know, when I try to figure this out, you know, even in my meditation this morning, I didn't even, I have to use my intellect, I have to use my thoughts to get me to my sofa, to, you know, get my books out, to do all that process. And then I move into my meditation and my lizard brain, you know, is doing its thing with just doing its thing, you know, on autopilot. And I realized it, and thankfully, and it was like, you know, I just had to reach out to God. I need help. I can't access you when I'm, you know, when my thinking is in overdrive here. And it was like an elevator drop just happened. And went down into my heart. Oh my gosh, so relieving, so freeing, so roomy. And it, then God can do a thing with me, you know. Then I'm, you know, a blank slate and an empty canvas. And that's where it happens. That's where those deep things can be dislodged in me, and change can happen. And it's amazing. It's an amazing way to live when I let God have access to my deepest things that I don't even know. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. It's, you know, the control has to go when I invite God into those deep, mysterious nooks and crannies that I don't understand. And it's a release. It's just a release that that needs to transpire in order for me to experience change. And it's scary, of course. You know, and it requires, I mean, here in the big book on page 56, which I know we're not there yet, but we'll get to. who are you to say there is no God? Okay, so that, I believe in God, but I had somebody tell me, take it one step further. Who am I to say there is no God who can't help me? Who am I to say that there is a God who can't solve all my problems? That frames it in a different way. And
reminder.
So grateful. So grateful. Thank you. Everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you, Peggy. Okay. Ginger C, you're up next, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Ginger.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service and everyone doing service. I am Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love this self-sufficiency because that's how I roll. I got it. I know. And I eat over and over and over. And, you know, as an addict, I know three things really well. Lying, cheating, and stealing, because that's what I do. And thank God for the food that we eat. And especially, I know there are plenty on the line right now that are in the pain of this nightmare. And you think it might not end. And all I can say is don't give up. I'm amazed that I have 3 weeks today. And it's only because of the grace. I did pray that desperate prayer, God help me. And then this miracle Sunday happened, unbeknownst to me. And thank God for the pain of the food, because, you know, you guys, I'm a food freak. Food has been my best friend since I was a baby. And you're telling me to say goodbye to it. It's not easy. It is painful to let it go and put it down, because it's all I've known to sustain life. But, of course, it gets you and it beats you and it takes you to horrible, horrible places. And it's deadly. This is my life. It's deadly. It's not like I'm going to eat a Twinkie like my sponsor said, and my head's going to blow off. I eat the Twinkie and I live in pain day in and day out, and it doesn't end. And it sucks. And I don't know what to do, because I want to be back with you in Bill's car, happy, joyous, and free, and I'm stuck in the disease because I bought the great lie and I took the first bite. And that bite took me. So I just know today God is doing for me what I don't do, because I have never been more clean and clear and honest about the food, because that's my problem, is self-sufficiency. I'm going to still eat my bites. I'm going to go for those cheese, rice, almond crackers. My hand doesn't belong in a box. That's not the food that sustains my brain. I need to eat on the outside of that grocery store. And I need to find out what's in the food. Yesterday, I'm planning and preparing for today's meals. I know what breakfast is. I know what lunch is. I know what dinner is. That helps me to have another day clean and clear. But when I was buying these items, I had the lady print the label, took my cheaters out, and I started reading it. And I thought, that doesn't work for me. Thank you so much for printing this label. That label just saved my life. So if you're having a hard time with abstinence, I really highly encourage you. Are you still getting a vicarious thrill and effect from the things you're putting in and ingesting? Because I know it took 5 years before I relapsed, but this is patient, cunning, and baffling, and it will get you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52, the fourth paragraph, beginning with the Wright brothers. Reading through, the Wrights would never fly on the next page. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And who else would like to share today?
Tricia C.
Ross M.
Rosetta
A.
Loretta. Gotcha, Melissa.
Tricia.
I got Tricia C.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
All right, so I've got Tricia C, Russ M, Loretta H, Melissa C. Who else?
Tamara C.
How do you spell that?
T-A-M-R-A. Tamara.
T-A-M-R-A?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that... T as in Tom.
T as in Tom.
A-M-R-A.
Yep.
And that was your last initial, sorry.
D.
As in boy?
Cat.
As in cat.
Yes, feet.
Right. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else for the second lineup? All right. So I've got Trisha C, Wes M, Loretta H, Melissa C, and Tamara C. Trisha, you're up first, followed by Russ. Go ahead, Trisha. And don't forget
thanks,
your state.
Okay. Thanks so much, Rick. I so appreciate your service and everyone who's working on the line today. My name is Trisha C, recovered in New Hampshire. And lots of people have said the childish faith, right, that they could build a machine that would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. So I looked up mainspring, and it says the chief motivating power of something. And it's cool. Google has that, like you could see when it was a popular word, and it was really popular when the big book was published. And I just think that's so interesting, the chief motivating power. Doesn't everything come back to power in this program? And then it says here, we agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. Well, self-sufficiency, when I looked it up, said having the power to provide everything you need. Wasn't that what I wanted? Like when I came here, I wanted to become more self-sufficient. I mean, I didn't know that's what I wanted, but really, I wanted power to not be so needy. I wanted the power to be able to do things on my own. And then when we jump forward, which we'll get there, to page 68, it says, we asked ourselves why we had the fears that we have. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? So isn't this the crux of it all, that we want to be, or that I want to be self-reliant? And actually being self-reliant is the mainspring of all of my problems. Isn't it the fact that I try to rely on my own resources, and my own resources are so ridiculously small compared to the power of God? I think about like God being this like city-sized power generator, and I'm like a coin battery, and I rely on that coin battery like there's no tomorrow. I'm just going to use this little coin battery. I'm going to plug it in my teeny little light here, or the sun can power me today to do God's will. Like, I think the coin battery, should we just agree that this is not working for me? And today I was told that the false beliefs that I hold to be true are what are blocking me from the divine. It's these false beliefs that I am supposed to be able to do this on my own. I'm supposed to be able to be a good person. I'm supposed to be able to do this and do that. I always have these things that I'm just supposed to be able to do. Those are the things that are blocking me. The self-reliance failed us. And so today, what my prayer is for myself and for others is that we would have this childish faith, because it says in this paragraph, without that, nothing could have happened. Nothing could have happened without childish faith. And guess what? I can't even get childish faith without God. I even need God for my faith. Holy smokes. Self-reliant? Not a chance. I got nothing. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Rick.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Trisha. Russ, you're up next, followed by Loretta H. Go ahead, Russ.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, family. Russ, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from PA. And, you know, when I hear this thing, faith, I don't know. Oh, how am I supposed to have faith? And you battle it your whole life, yet, you know, I guess in the agnostics it says, like, we did have faith. Like, I did have faith in me. In my tremendous personality and my great smarts and my human effort, and I have to work hard. I came up, you know, that I had to produce. I had faith in that philosophy, right? So I always had some, even if it was a screwed up type of faith, I have faith. Yet I can't apply it to the king, the master of the universe that, you know, every molecule was produced from, anything, any cell that was ever produced. And, you know, and until I fell flat on my face and almost lost everything, you know, that's when I believe now, because I ain't got no other option. And, I've been freed of this, you know, working the program and maintaining and trying to enlarge my spiritual life, I've been free of this dreaded disease, right? Hey, tomorrow, 10 minutes from now, I could get destroyed again. I just got to stay in the process. Yet, in other aspects of my life, other parts of my life, I still feel that trepidation. I have that deep burning fear in my heart in certain issues. So I have to come, I got to do the same thing I did with the food. I got to have some kind of faith in that God has higher power, whatever 50 cent word you want to say, has my best interest, even when I don't even know what's going on. Even when I see that Mack truck coming towards me in life. You know, these things that I can't let go are so attached to fear that, and it's the stupidest thing, because I got a track record of when I hold on and I'm doing it myself, I'm a miserable failure. So it is, only God could help me out of this deal in life, just life in general. You know, no, I'm not trying to overblow anything. I'm just saying that faith, I got to be a gabados, got to be hard-headed. Like, I can't shake free of it. I have to be broken to have faith in God and let him handle the deal. I just pray it doesn't get as bad as it did with the food. I mean, it's all entangled together, but it's a process. So at least I'm clear-headed, and I have the 12 steps. I have a community that brings me closer to God, and I'm nurturing and developing this relationship. That's what's going to get me free. So it's not, I wasn't trying to give you all emotion. I'm just saying that's, you know, I don't want to give you my life story, but y'all know me. This right here.
Just a reminder.
That. Sorry about that. Sorry to steal time. Y'all have a great one. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. All right, Loretta H., you're up next, followed by Melissa C. Go ahead, Loretta.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you, everyone on this line, along with my precious God, who is saving my life today, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. And I looked up the word faith again because, and it's funny, it's a little bit different than the last time I shared on it, so I have to trust that, but it's complete trust based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And I'm so grateful I came into this program as an agnostic, because I had a lot of spiritual apprehension. But as the first share said, the set-aside prayer was just what I needed. I needed to stop the debating society in the surrender, D-E-R, stop debating every reason. And that's where I had to come from. And the Wright brothers, actually, I flew in one of their capsules for 35 years. And even though I had no faith during that time, I used to get goosebumps when we landed in cities, because I couldn't imagine how I got from one city to the Orient in this capsule. I mean, it just still just overwhelms me. And that was faith, because I knew it would come up and it would go down. And the Wright brothers actually went to the Louvre before they were designing their airplane to study the religious and the paintings with birds in them, so they could actually embrace this idea of faith. They came from a very religious, I think their father was a preacher, and they were kind of like me. I think they were agnostics, but just seeing it, it's in the sighting. Somebody said this at the other day in the meeting. It's in the sighting, and I must stop fighting. And that's where this program has led me today. Seeing God in action, and you guys seeing God in action in my life, seeing God, that the God idea really works. And I'm so grateful today that I came in with a lot of apprehension, but it gave me the ability to set aside everything I think I know and to actually surrender in the process and that the God's sightings await. Surrendered serenity, God's sightings await. And I'm so grateful that I can carry this in my heart today. And I can carry all of you who have helped me greatly, and my God who is with me every single minute of my day. Thank you.
Thank you, Loretta. Melissa C., you're up next, followed by Tamara C.
Hi, good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for your service this morning. And good morning, everybody. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, yeah, so childish faith is the mainspring, you know, that thing that was more powerful than all of their knowledge and all their human resources, like everything they knew about science and technology, like the faith thing inside them was actually more powerful. And, you know, that's the thing that's required, you know, for me, is this internal belief. And, you know, it's an, I would think it's like an inextinguishable spark of hope, that feeling that's something good is going to come to fruition. And, you know, the beauty of this is how it is childish, meaning it's not reliant on years of education and knowledge. In fact, knowledge and education, I think, can kind of corrupt that childish spark, you know, that's pure, and it somehow exists despite all the nonsense buzzing in my brain. And, you know, I think, like, what can defeat me is self-sufficiency. My thinking is, I don't need your help. Like, I don't need your help, God, and I don't need your help, fellowship. And because for me, the fellowship was the introduction to the power. I did not have enough faith in my own without the fellowship sort of egging me on. And, you know, I recall, like, being in relapse, you know, on a early January, and being in self-sufficiency, pulling out my food plans, pulling out my measuring cups, pulling out all my knowledge, getting on the scale, and thinking on New Year's Day, let me just take off some of this weight that I've put on, and then I'll go back to the rooms of OA, because I didn't want to come back, you know, being defeated by this disease. I wanted to somehow emerge victorious. And by the way, self-sufficiency maybe lasted me until the weekend. And, you know, the thing that can defeat me, I'm told in the spiritual, you know, experience in the appendix, is belligerent denial. Like, so what I need to have is an easygoing, amicable acceptance. Like, I think for me is I had to make a decision to go from the skeptic, you know, the person thinking this thing can't work until I, you know, get some of my own power under my belt, to an optimist, to someone who just says, you know what, I got nothing, but you do. You've got what I want. And then I threw myself at the mercy of a miracle, and miracles awaited. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa. All right, Tamara C., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Tamara.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C. In Missouri, and I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater today. I had faith that there was a God, but I did not have faith in God's sufficiency because I was just too busy desperately running the Tamara show, just desperately trying to scramble, make the world okay, make myself okay, to be enough and to be safe. So one thing that helped shift that right from the beginning of going through the steps was to be given the prayer, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. And that helped shift it a bit. And then going through the steps was a dramatic shift from the Tamara show to the God idea that works. And today, self-sufficiency is there. The Tamara show is there every day. I wake up in the Tamara show. And the first helpful thing is to notice it, to notice the Tamra sufficiency. And this happens through doing 10 steps to uncover, oh, there I am again, trying to manage everything, playing God. And then turning to my higher power and turning to fellows. And there's so many helpful prayers that I've heard from people shares and that I get from the big book. The third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, that I'm yours, I trust you, asking God's care and protection with giving up, complete abandoning of my own ideas and my own course. Just praying, God, I'm powerless. Thank you that I'm never alone. And thy will, not mine, be done. Be my new director. Be in charge. The simple prayer, what's next? Just reminding myself that God has me and God knows what's next for me. I love the morning prayer. I pray that I be shown all through the day what my next step is to be. And I pray that I be given everything I need to handle such problems. It just reminds me that it all comes from my higher power. It helps me to visualize things like moving back out of the driver's seat again, visualize my higher power right here, whispering in my ear. Remind me to ask for help from others. My higher power is just always there. I'm never abandoned. It helps me so much to connect with my fellows. It gets me out of self and out of that Tamra show. I just really love this meeting and all that it has taught me, all of the shares that remind me and return me to the God idea that works. Thank you, Akash.
Thank you, Tamra. All right, we've got room for one more share.
Margaret G. Pamela P.
Margaret, go ahead. Pamela, if we have room, we'll get you in there. Go ahead, Margaret.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. My name is Margaret D. I'm in Georgia. And Pamela, I think you're going to have time. I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater. I just want to share a quick little, an experience that happened to me around faith. I've been doing the 11th step for a while, and so many times in the big book, the phrase is repeated over and over again that faith without works is dead. And as I read that, an intuitive thought came to me from my higher power, which is, well, if faith without works is dead, then faith with works is conscious contact. And that thought has helped boost my faith whenever I've been, when my spirits have been plaguing. So anyways, with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Margaret. And Pamela, you're probably going to take us out. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, this is Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Happy New Year to everyone. So what I got from there is, yes, I do believe that God is there for all us, but he wants us to put in the work. It's easy to pray for God, please make me skinny or make me have no disease, but you continue binging, purging, and doing everything against what your heart desire is with the recovery. So I, the work, but to me, the program is essential, but it's not easy. I got to do a lot each day. One, easy doing everything, like saying that I'm not going to binge no more. I could do everything in my power, and I still might pick up. So imagine if I don't do none of it, it will increase the chance dramatically. So I did thank God for the meeting. I had another meeting, and I get the share ID, listen to the Ty Lee another time. And the Vision for You meeting are amazing. And you're having faith because what God done for others, he could do for me. And what God had done for me before, he could do it again. And nothing hard for my God with Jesus. So I just praying just for today, no bins, no prayers. I did got a high anxiety earlier today, and I just trying to calm down that. because I am slippery slope. I'm trying to get a great my recovery back, and it's been very hard. But I'm not going to give up before the miracle happens. And for that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Pamela. That's all the time we have. Thank you to everyone who shared, kicking off this Vision for You Monday meeting into 2023. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, January 2nd, 2023, is 19,808. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan S.H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. It's Susan S.H., a recovered compulsive overeater in St. Mary's, Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.